Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of the program on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and Walker Wildman. It's blue tie day at the White House, evidently, because I see the vice president and the president going with those blue ties today. At the White House, not all, they're talking about immigration and other things, right? Today on today's agenda, Steve Jordahl is with us here on American Family Radio. Steve's with the One News Now team and American Family Radio News.
He is.
Steve's talking in third person right there. Hey, it's Columbus Day, isn't it, Steve?
It is Columbus Day today, and I want to. To say to my good friend Ed Vitagliano, I can't even pronounce his name, but happy
Ed.
Columbus,
it's just Ed.
Happy Columbus Day, Ed.
Well, thank you so much.
So
it's a day that all Americans should celebrate, not just Italian Americans, but
on this auspicious day, I would like to debut the new Italian Files.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
It is. It's amore. It's
amore.
A beautiful thing.
Is that Dean? Is that Dean Martin?
That's Dean.
He was an Italian, by the way.
Yeah,
Dean Martin was not Italian.
Excuse me. He was
okay.
Italian. Martini was his original name.
Oh.
My apologies. He was from Steubenville, Ohio.
Yes. There were Italians in Ohio.
I know, but I didn't know. I thought he was
actually Walker. Check that.
He had an Italian father and an Italian American mother.
Well, there you go.
You just can't get away with anything on this program if someone's going to find us.
Listen, we don't have much, Tim.
I had read somewhere. I thought he was Dean Martin. We're talking about Italian, but I had read somewhere where his family descent was like Hungarian or something like that. But you know, that's been so long ago. Since I did my thesis on in college on Dean Martin.
But now saying that about Dean Martin is not like saying that about Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
That'd be something different.
You're messing with powers that you do not understand at this point. So to commemorate the day, Antifa, we'll start here, has decided to plan a nationwide deface Columbus Day actions for Monday. So Columbus statues. Antifa does not like Columbus. Tell me why, Ed.
Well, and this has been going on for several years, a movement to abolish Columbus Day, replace it with what they call Indigenous Peoples Day. Los Angeles in August was the biggest city yet.
Austin did it too.
Yes, Austin has done it. Other cities have done it, San Francisco, Seattle, Denver. They boot Columbus because Columbus was the first salvo in the European invasion of the New World, in which case indigenous peoples, Native Americans, and so forth, were displaced. And I mean, A led to B led to C.
Right.
I mean, it did happen. But to put all that on the shoulders of Columbus is a little bit ridiculous. Columbus was not necessarily a nice person either. And we, you know, need to admit that old world people who came over here did not, you know, there was a lot of bloodshed and a lot of bad things that happened. But the fact of the matter is, in the 1400s, this is the way everyone operated. The people who were over here, the indigenous peoples, like the Incas and the Mayans, they did the same thing to others who were not of their own.
Well, he was an ugly guy. If the picture I have in front of me, the drawing I have in front of me, is anything, I'd like to thank Darren in College Station, Texas, for alerting me to the fact that Austin replaced Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. But this picture doesn't do him justice. I love talking about pictures on the radio. It's just such good radio.
It's still Columbus Day across America.
And the fact that you are quite clearly nose-shaming Christopher Columbus. He's got a big schnoz, okay? So he's Italian.
He's got a sad eyes, too.
Well, okay, I don't like nose-shaming.
No?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm the last person that anybody in this room that should be nose shaming.
And I agree with you, Steve,
Come on, guys.
Well, I also want to point out someone sent to me this. The Viking explorers actually beat Columbus to America, so
yeah, but they didn't
take
stick.
That.
Yeah, listen here. This is what Italians always say. Yeah, they probably did beat Columbus here. What happened to them? They didn't stick. The Vikings went home. They couldn't take it.
Right.
All right? The Italians stayed
around. They landed quite a bit north of the Caribbean, too, if I
Portuguese and the Spanish, they stuck.
If you're interested, I did bring along the presidential proclamation of President Trump, and I brought along the one from President Obama in 2016 as well. So the difference being, and I'll just say it's a long proclamation. I won't read the whole thing. I'll give you a sentence from this. More than five centuries after his initial voyage, we remember the Admiral of the Ocean Seas for building the critical first link in the strong and enduring bond between the United States and Europe. Basically, that was his tone. This was...
What did you just quote?
That was President Trump.
Today?
Today.
That was a partial...
It was just one sentence out of a three or four or five paragraph
Honoring Christopher Columbus,
Recognizing Columbus Day,
and the credit he gets is for discovering the New World. True,
right.
He talked the Queen and King of Spain into
Isabel and Ferdinand
into funding his trip to explore the New World.
Right.
I've always said in 1492 Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
And that's how
I've always said that.
You've always said that. So he gets credit for that. Let me ask you this. Do we scrutinize every human being in history for things they might have said or done that were shameful or
We seem to do that now.
And so if they say things or do things, does that discredit them from history and their contributions that they may have had to history? In other words, if you go to Egypt, for example, to these PC people, okay, these secular progressives, do we go to Egypt and say, tear down those pyramids? Huh?
Because they were built.
They were built by slaves.
By slave
labor.
Tear them down. Tear down those pyramids. Or deface them.
Right.
Do something, huh? Is that what these people would do? Is that where we go with all this?
Well, if we
did. Because nobody there's probably far more characters in human history who have made substantial, significant contributions to the advancement, if you will, of humankind that have things in their background or other things that they did, which we would today would say would be terrible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Historians warn, at least the ones that are serious about history, they warn about judging other people and cultures by today's standards because so much has changed. Technology has changed, as well as our understanding of morality has changed. And so I remember having this discussion with David Barton and warning me against the trend that we're seeing now is everybody that said anything in the day. I mean, I even remember as a child certain things that seemed to be just part of growing up in California, a very non-racist state, by the way, that now would be out of bounds.
Here's the thing. What are we honoring or recognizing them for? Are we recognizing President Bill Clinton for his affair in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky? No, that's not why he has a picture probably in the Capitol, etc. He's in the history books. Not because of his affair with Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
He's in the history books because he was a president of the United States.
Right.
So it's all about what we're not honoring people for the bad things they've done. We're honoring them for maybe the one or two really good things that they've done out of their entire lifetime.
And this idea of putting down Christopher Columbus because he came to discover the U.S. Well, not discover the U.S., discover the New World.
Right.
I guess,
he thought it was India, by the way, which is why we call Native Americans Indians.
Yes.
But, the Indians, the American Indians, were at war with each other forever over land. And they massacred each other. You know what I'm saying? So would these same people say, well, we need to take down the statue of Sitting Bull because he scalped people? You know what I'm saying? No, when they say, well, the white Europeans came over here and displaced the Indians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what, people? The Indians were displacing the Indians every day, all over what became known as North America.
Just a historical fact.
Yeah. Huh?
That's a historical fact.
Yeah. So if you're going to fault the white Europeans, then you might as well fault Native Americans.
That's the word. And I don't want to.
What now? What's the word?
The word white. I think that falls, and I don't want to be unfair because the Trail of Tears, I mean, there were a lot of terrible things that white people did and the federal government did to Indians in this country in terms of treaties and breaking treaties and so on and so forth. I don't want to gloss over that, but the narrative is not, let's talk about the bad things that all people have done, Native American against Native American. The narrative from the left is white Europeans are bad and oppressive people.
They're the only ones.
And they're the only ones. I think that's why you get Columbus Day being defaced, the statues. Mm-hmm.
Columbus was, you said he was Italian.
Yes.
And anyway, are Semitic people also known as white?
Oh, I don't know.
You're talking about
the Jews, the Semitic people.
People, well, when they say white Europeans, for example. And you take somebody who's from Greece or Italy, so the Mediterranean, those nations that border the Mediterranean, those people have always been known as Semite people, right?
I don't know.
I'm going with this.
I'm foggy in that. They're Caucasian. I'm not sure where the Semitic peoples. I don't know.
If you go to Israel, that borders. You go to Turkey. These people are Arab. Looking Arabia, they're dark skinned.
They're Turkish people.
Okay,
the
Arabs. Then how far do you go over? You go over to Greece, with that skin color.
What you're getting at is where's the European line?
I don't know.
What I'm saying is, you could technically argue that if Italians are Semitic people, they can't also be white. Can't also be Anglo, can they? Or Anglo not the only white people?
Are we getting over
our heads here.
Yes.
And am I taking us there?
Yes.
Everybody raise their hand.
Yes. I vote we do something else.
I think we need to move on with Steve's next news story, and we will come back to this another year.
Yes. Okay? Or invite somebody on
who knows what they're talking about.
I vote in favor of that.
Okay, go ahead,
Well,
Steve.
It's interesting, actually, that you were talking about politically correct stuff, because over the weekend, a very powerful man in Hollywood was fired from the company that he founded. His name was Harvey Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein. And Harvey was a Hollywood producer, and it is now coming to the fore that he also was prolific in the way that he abused women, sexually assaulted some of them, and there are charges out there of even, well, I don't know if you call a rape a sexual assault, but... It is, but I mean, it goes deep. And so this is a man that you might not recognize by name or by picture, but you probably have seen some of the movies that he's made. I just brought one page from his IMDb sheet. He was executive producer for all these movies, The Aviator, Finding Neverland, Ella Enchanted, the whole Lord of the Rings trilogy, Master and Commander, Far Side of the World, Spy Kids, Project Runway, if you're into that. Those are all Harvey Weinstein pictures. And so he was, and to date, as far as I can tell, really, only one A-lister has spoken out, and that was Meryl Streep, who
took her a couple days.
It took her a couple days. She says the intrepid women who raised their voice to expose this abuse are our heroes. But then she went on to say, not everybody knew. So the reason that, but it's turned out that the New York Times knew and killed a story based on several years ago, based on requests from some Hollywood insiders who didn't want this to come out for some reason.
Well, the Weinstein brothers and his brother is Bob. Mm-hmm. They started up Miramax. People have probably heard of Miramax Studios. Disney bought them. because I know, you know, years ago anyway. And then they left and started another movie production company. So they've been around and been huge players in Hollywood. I mean,
for a long time, players in Hollywood for a couple of decades. I found two examples of hypocrisy. Hello, I can't talk today. I found two examples of hypocrisy coming out of Hollywood surrounding this. One happened Saturday night when Saturday Night Live cut material about Weinstein from its show. It was going to do some jokes and they cut it at the last minute. When I first read the headline, I thought, well, okay, there's nothing at all funny about rape or about sexual assault. So maybe that's why they did it. But it turns out, no. He said, according to Lorne Michaels, who's the show's creator, he said the show did not go after Weinstein because he's from New York. And he says it's a New York thing. And so Donald Trump Jr., of course, tweeted out, the show's famous for its relentless satire of President Trump. Where is he from?
Yeah.
Oh, he's from New York.
New York.
Apparently, that's a double standard. The other double standard that I found regarding this was the way that people responded to, remember when Donald Trump's Access Hollywood tape came out and he talked about grabbing women and all of this, this stuff?
It was terrible.
Hollywood actors and actresses and Hillary Clinton, in fact, came out and just really hammered Trump for that, which maybe he should. So Cher was on the business. So was Jenny Slate, Patricia Arquette, Deborah Messing. I went back and I looked at all of these people's Twitter feeds from the last weekend, and none of them, with one exception, Deborah Messing, I think, was the only person who mentioned anything about Weinstein.
She's from Will and Grace, by the way.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. So these people who are hammering Trump just seem to be really quiet when it comes to Weinstein.
Wonder why.
I don't know. It's kind of odd, isn't it?
Hollywood protects its own, and Hollywood's a broad general term, I know. But what you got here is the liberals, especially the celebrities of Hollywood, the entertainment people, they hate conservatives more than they love life. And so they're going to use every opportunity. And Donald Trump, President Trump, they came after him. And still go after him every day for various and different reasons, but the interesting thing here is there that the Hollywood Jimmy Kimmel, for example, ABC, Late Night News, they all Stephen Colbert, they all it's all groupthink, and it's all very liberal, and they all pounce on Trump every day all day. But the interesting thing is this fella here, Weinstein. Of course, he's not a household name, I don't think, but he's the money behind all the household names, a lot of the household names that people would recognize from Hollywood, which are stars. He made them stars. He and his brother made them stars in hit movies that they financed and made a lot of money off of. And he was a big contributor to the Democratic Party. I mean, one of their largest contributors to the Democratic Party. And so so it's put Hollywood and the Democratic Party in the position of having to distance themselves from this man who has given them a lot of money. And I think they've been waiting to see, before they criticized him, whether he was going to be relieved of his duties at his company.
Which he was.
He was fired.
But so that may have been why Meryl Streep, I don't know this, but it may have been why Meryl Streep waited to criticize him in the way she did to find out that he couldn't come back
And maybe get her
and hurt her.
Well, and he was offered. My understanding is that Harvey Weinstein was offered a deal by the company of which he's an executive. You know, to admit you did wrong and go into some sort of rehab if you've got a sex addiction problem or whatever, get some help. And he refused, so they fired him.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Hollywood is not in the entertainment industry. They're not going to. The story is the hypocrisy there. They would slam any kind of conservative or Republican, including President Trump, on anything remotely that resembles sexism or misogyny or anything like that. But when it comes to their own, You don't see, you know, they're very hesitant to criticize.
And by the way, I have a problem. I don't believe Meryl Streep when she says that she didn't know, that people didn't know that it was hidden. In Hollywood, when especially, can you imagine if a man like this powerful had a history, the women in Hollywood would certainly be whispering to each other, just be ready.
Yeah.
This is going to happen. It had to be all over the place.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim here with Ed and Walker and Steve Jordahl. Steve, go on.
I would like to bring you a couple entries to the Snowflake Files.
Hey, 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 Snowflake.
Snowflake.
My pretty little snowflake.
We will start at the University of Michigan, where this was a couple days ago, a horror happened, and all kinds of people were stressed because they found a noose hanging on somebody's dorm room. That is, they thought it was a noose until they took a good look and found out that it was actually shoelaces that were in the package. And
what?
I heard that.
No, wait. I don't
you know
understand
how they put,
it.
You know how they put, you buy shoelaces, it's in the package, it's plastic, and they wind them up and then they wrap.
Right.
They wrap them around, and it might look, perhaps if you have a vivid imagination, like a noose. Well, someone took this package and stuck it up on somebody's door. I think it was like, you know, they have the whiteboards on the outside of dorm room door sometime. They just stuck it up there. Perhaps it was something that somebody left in another room that they knew it belonged to this person. Well, somebody walking past it thought that it was a noose, and they reported it as a racial incident. And the school put out and said this type of behavior is not tolerated on our campus. No Spartan should ever feel targeted based on their race or other ways in which they identify or
what did they say after that? Oops.
Presumably. What's that?
What did they say after they found out it was?
Yeah.
Oops.
Also, the original shoelace found inside the residence hall was not directed at any individual. They came back and said. So they didn't direct the shoelaces at anybody.
Oh, my goodness. All right, give us the other one, and then we can make fun of these schools.
From there, we go to, actually, this isn't a school. This is Detroit. A Detroit firefighter was in coming to a brand new station, meeting his new workmates, and as is the habit with fire people, firemen and women, you bring a gift when you're coming to a new station. Remember, these people live 24-hour shifts. You live together basically for those 24 hours. You go home, so it's more than just a job. You actually eat meals with these people. It's all. So he decided he was going to bring something, and he brought a watermelon to his new site of work. And it just so happened that several of his fellow firefighters were black, and he has been fired.
Yeah. In fact, he never actually, he didn't even make it to his first day.
No.
Now I am deeply offended by this, and I'll tell you why. Because I like watermelon too. How come this is a black food?
It's food racism, Red. Don't you recognize it?
Well, that's what I said. I know that it's true. I mean, I know that sometimes black people are offended by that. But why? What's the genesis of that? Why is watermelon supposedly a black food?
Because in the minstrel show days back in minstrel days, that was a caricature of a black person eating watermelon.
Okay.
It was one of those things that was used to depict them at that time.
So the fellow brought a watermelon? Was he asking for it?
He didn't know he was asking for it, but there's a picture of the watermelon with a pink bow on top. He bought it. It looks like a nice melon. And
I don't know if I can go for food racism.
Can we not agree to eat food? Can we not sit down and eat a watermelon?
I'm going to ask some of our black employees.
Yeah.
Christian,
is that offensive?
If it is. I mean, I didn't know that, but I'm willing to learn on
good thing you're not a firefighter.
I know. All right, folks.
See you tomorrow, everybody.